You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, John chapter 19 and verse 30. As we finish up our series, Christ from the Cross, John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you, Lord, for Easter Sunday and the power of the resurrection. I pray you just help us to remember, Lord, as we look back on the last thing you said on Good Friday, "It is finished." I pray that we would leave this church today knowing, Lord, that truly is finished for us, that we are trusting in you for what's to come. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, on that first Good Friday, after 6 hours of torture on the cross, Jesus Christ finally died. And that happened. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Lent called Cries from the Cross, looking at the last 7 things that Jesus said while he was dying on the cross. And today we look at the last thing that Jesus said, and that's about victory. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 19 and verse 30. In this part of John chapter 19, Jesus actually finally dies on the cross. And in our text today, he says, "It is finished," and declares victory. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to make sure that we're sharing in that victory too. Our text this morning, John chapter 19, verse 30, tells us 3 things that we need to know about victory in Jesus so that we can have that victory and make sure that everything necessary is finished for us as well. And let's look and see what those 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to know about victory in Jesus is that it was won on the cross. And that's exactly what Jesus is showing us here in verse 30. Because exactly 3 p.m. on that first Good Friday, it really was over with. And as the chill of death was racing up Jesus' legs and his lungs collapsed and filled with blood, Jesus gathered up all the strength he could muster, lifted himself up with all his weight on that single spike running through both of his feet, and cried out in a loud voice the very last words he said before he died, "It is finished." And it wasn't a whine, it wasn't a wail, it wasn't a whimper, it wasn't a whisper, it was hoorah, a cry of victory. And why? Because Jesus was declaring victory. Now that phrase, "it is finished," in the Greek is just one word, tetelestai, because Jesus didn't have to say a lot to mean a lot. And Jesus was not saying that he himself was finished, because just a matter of hours, he was going to pop out of that tomb and say, "YOLO, speak for yourself." And Jesus wasn't saying that his earthly life was finished. He wasn't just saying that all the torture and the pain and the agony and the cross was finished. Because more than anything else, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that the mission that God the Father sent him to earth to complete was complete and finished. John chapter 17, verse 4. To die on a cross to pay the price for our sin. Last August, a woman named Scarlett Hall from Ackworth, Georgia, got an electric bill from Georgia Power for $1,616,500,130.09. Just for her house. Just for 1 month. And the normal bill is only like $270 a month. Of course, a bill she couldn't pay. Now, of course, that was just a computer glitch. But folks, the sad fact is, we human beings, because of sin, we run up a debt with God and a bill with God that we can't possibly pay either. A debt that separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And that debt will separate us from God for eternity in a place called hell if it's not paid for. And God knew we couldn't pay it ourselves. So the good news is, 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of our sin, He took His Son Jesus, put Jesus on a cross, took all of our sin, placed that sin on Jesus, and made Him pay it for it instead. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And Peter Cottontail can't give you nothing like that in no Easter basket. And that word tetelestai in the Greek literally means paid for. Back in New Testament times, when you paid for something, you got a receipt with that word written on it. Tetelestai, paid in full. So when Jesus on that first Good Friday is crying out, "It is finished," He is declaring that His death on the cross completely and totally and absolutely paid the price for your sin. paid in full. And he did it through his blood. In the museum in Springfield right now, there's a little patch of a silk dress that can't be bought for any amount of money in the whole wide world because it's stained with blood. A patch of a silk dress worn by Mary Todd Lincoln when her husband was shot at Ford's Theater back in 1865. And she held him in her arms while his life bled out. And folks, if a state can do that for the blood of Jesus Christ who sets slaves free, what should the world do for the blood of Jesus Christ who sets free absolutely anybody who turns to Him in repentance and faith? It is finished. Paid in full. Mission accomplished. Victory in Jesus won at the cross. And notice, victory because Jesus did not die of massive injuries and blood loss up there on Calvary. Jesus was not killed on that cross because verse 30 says He just gave up His spirit. And that phrase in the Greek literally means He just handed it over and then bowed His head like He was laying it on a pillow because Jesus was in total control. Folks, none of that happened without Jesus letting it happen. The only reason it happened is because Jesus let it happen. Because Jesus said, John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, nobody takes my life from me. I've got the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it up again, and He did. You don't just kill God, people. So Jesus wasn't murdered on that cross. He simply made a decision not to hold on to His life anymore. And notice, when exactly? The other Gospels say, when exactly? At the ninth hour, at 3 p.m., when the high priest was sacrificing the Passover lamb for the evening sacrifice in the temple. So the exact same time that the high priest in the temple was saying, it is finished for the sins of the Jewish people, Jesus Christ, the great high priest on the cross, was saying, it is finished for the sins of all people. Victory in Jesus won at the cross. But the funny thing is, that cross sure didn't look like a victory. Most people who were crucified took 3 or 4 days to die. And the Romans usually left the bodies on the cross even after death to be eaten by dogs or vultures or just to rot away. Didn't look like victory on the outside. And crucifixion was so gory and so ugly and so smelly and so disgusting and revolting. Roman historians hardly ever wrote about it at all, recorded almost nothing about it in the annals. And crucifixion wasn't just supposed to kill you, it was also supposed to trash your reputation forever because only the scum of the earth ever got crucified. And the Romans worshipped power. People who could torture their enemies, not be tortured by them. And except for Hercules and Julius Caesar and his adopted nephew Augustus, men didn't become gods. So in their minds, Jesus Christ, who had been crucified being a son of God, was absolutely crazy. The cross did not look and seem like a victory. But see, with us Christians, sometimes our biggest defeats can become our biggest victories. Just like with them. Last March the 27th, 28-year-old Audrey Hale, who identified as transgender, shot and murdered 3 9-year-old kids and 3 adult staff members at Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville, Tennessee, before Nashville police shot and killed her on the second floor. And one of the 9-year-old children that she shot and killed was the pastor's daughter, little Holly Scruggs, Pastor Chad Scruggs and his wife Jada's daughter. Come to find out, Audrey Hale had gone to that same school years ago. And because that school teaches that LGBTQ is a sin, she hated that school and planned for weeks to shoot it out. And she had even had special counseling sessions with Pastor Chad Scruggs for her quote-unquote emotional disorder to scope out the place and to scope out him. And last March the 27th, she went to that school to shoot and kill him. And when she couldn't find him, she shot and killed his 9-year-old daughter instead. So folks, you talk about a family that's hurting like you wouldn't believe. Because Pastor Chad Scruggs and his wife Jada have 3 older boys. And Hallie was their little surprise. And she loved unicorns and My Little Pony and soccer and playing basketball with her older brothers. She was a real gift, people. And now there's a family with a hole in their heart that is never going to be healed this side of the veil. And clueless people keep blaming the guns. Last week, thousands and thousands of students all over Nashville marched in the streets for even more gun control. And the left is still calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment, even though people have been killing each other for thousands of years before guns ever came along. Folks, that monster assassinated 3 9-year-old children by shooting them point blank in the face. And if you think you can legislate anything that is going to take away that kind of evil, you're delusional. Because the problem is not with people's guns. The problem is with people's hearts. And the only cure for that is Jesus Christ. Here's the statement that Pastor Scruggs released about his daughter. Through tears, we know that she is in the arms of Jesus, who will raise her to life once again. And how could he say something like that? I'll tell you how. Because the goal of every single Christian parent is to know that their kids are saved and that they're in heaven with Jesus. And because that little girl had prayed to receive Christ, Pastor Scruggs and his wife know that that little girl is saved and she's in heaven with Jesus. Victory. And even though that entire church campus today still looks like a crime scene, Covenant Presbyterian Church is celebrating Easter today with two services, 8:30 and 11. Victory. And the children's choir is singing a special version of Amazing Grace, exactly the same song they were practicing when Audrey Hale walked into that building and started shooting. Victory. And even though all kinds of people in that congregation are still hurting because of people that they love, because they know those people prayed to receive Christ, they know that they're in heaven right now. And just a matter of time, they're going to see them again. That is the hope of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 19, because He lives, we shall live also. What looks like defeat is really victory. So we Christians today serve notice on every skeptic, every naysayer, every government agency, every demon power in hell. You can't beat us Christians because we're not going anywhere until the rapture comes. And even if you kill some of us for crying out loud, the rest of us are just going to keep on believing in Jesus and just keep on serving Jesus and winning and winning and winning no matter what you do to us, because we take a licking and we keep on ticking. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. God always, always, always leads us in triumphal procession in Jesus Christ and the cross. The first thing we need to know about victory in Jesus, it was won at the cross. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know about victory in Jesus. It was not only won at the cross, but we also need to live it out here and now, every single day of our lives. And that's also what Jesus is telling us here in verse 30. Because Jesus is a winner. And He's called you to be a winner too. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, He created you with power and dominion authority over everything that He ever made. So Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, we press on to win the prize that God has called us to. Romans chapter 8 verse 37, through Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. And in the Greek that means we not only win when we pray to receive Christ, it means we win over and over again and keep on winning. Amen. Jesus is not a loser. And because of that, you're not a loser either. Now the devil, he is a loser. And his goal is to make you think you're a loser. So you don't have that victory that Jesus won for you at the cross every single day. Dear Abby, I'm a 62-year-old divorced father of two. And 36 years ago, when I was driving drunk, I caused a fatal accident that killed a young mother and her 8-month-old baby. I accepted responsibility, pled guilty to my crime, and served almost 12 years in prison for it. But even though I paid my legal debt, I don't believe God has ever forgiven me for what I did. To this day, I can barely drive at all, and every time I see a mother with a small child, it reminds me of the ones I killed because of my own stupidity. This has eaten at me every single day for 36 years. Abby, what can I do? How can I possibly ever get any peace? Is suicide the only way I can be set free of this? Signed, Unforgiven, ex-con. Let me ask you this morning, what is that sin in your past that the devil keeps making you feel guilty about? The way you treated your parents? The abortion you had when you were a sophomore in high school? The affair when you cheated on your husband? The divorce? How you neglected your kids because work was always more important? Listen to me, I don't care what it is. You confess that to God. You take it to the cross. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How much of it? All of it. And we don't have to worry about inflation either. Well, I don't know. The blood of Jesus, it just doesn't cover as much as it used to. No. Calvary still covers it all. I got a receipt here from Walmart last February the 27th. I bought fried chicken, chocolate chunk cookies, and a bunch of other health food. $47.06. So Walmart is never going to be able to come back to me and say, hey, you still owe $47.06 for what you bought here last February the 27th. And why? Because I've got a receipt here that proves it was paid for. So the next time the devil reminds you of your sin and tells you you got to keep paying for it, just show him your receipt. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in him we have redemption through his blood, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And folks, we got to realize no other faith system in the world has anything like that. Every other faith system in the world, forgiveness and salvation comes by you working for it. It all comes by good things you do for God. Christianity, it comes to us by the good things that God did for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Every other faith system is work salvation. Islam, you got to do the five pillars. Buddhism, you got to follow the eightfold path. Hinduism, it's karma, where you got to keep doing good things and paying in more and more and more to supposedly earn brownie points for the next go-around. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work you go. And the sad thing is, none of those religions ever get people to where they really want to be. Muhammad admitted before he died he was not going to go to Muslim heaven. Buddha admitted before he died he never reached enlightenment, which is the whole goal of Buddhism anyway. And in Hinduism and karma, you just keep paying and paying and paying. At no point anywhere along the way do you know how many good deeds you've paid in. Heaven's sakes, at least your bank gives you a statement once a month to tell you where you're at. Every other religion says pay, pay, pay. Only Christianity says paid, because everything that's necessary for your salvation was already paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. Every other religious faith system says do. Only Christianity says done, because everything that was necessary for your salvation was already done by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Actor Morgan Freeman said this, all religions basically lead to the same place. And I want to tell you today, that is an absolute lie, because only Christianity will take you to heaven. Everything else will take you to hell. Over 4,200 religions on the face of the earth today, only one of them has a cross, only one of them has an empty tomb. What does that tell you? Victory in Jesus and only in Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, are you walking in that victory? Are you living in that victory every day? Actor Terry Crews is a born-again Christian and the host of that show, America's Got Talent. And growing up, he had a drunk for a dad that beat him and beat his mom. So early on, he turned to pornography to escape. Was addicted to porn until 2010 when he finally turned his life over to Jesus Christ. And now, he runs a porn recovery ministry. This is what Terry Crews said. All that abuse put a hurt in my heart, and the porn was just an escape, something that just covered up that hurt, but never took it away. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, He dealt directly with that pain, and His love for me healed it, and He became the Father I never had. No matter what your hurt is, no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is the cure. 2,000 years ago on that cross, Jesus not only set us free from the penalty of sin, He also set us free from the power of sin. So I don't care what it is going on in your life right now. I don't care what it is that has you bound. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. So porn finished. Drinking finished. Oxycontin finished. Cutting yourself finished. Puking up everything you eat finished. I don't care what the devil tells you. You are not a drunk. You are not a skank. You are not a stoner. You're not the biggest loser. You're a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Are you walking in that victory that Jesus won for you at the cross? Or are you still bound? And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, this is Easter Sunday. What did you think we were going to talk about today? Eggs and rabbits? Are you walking in that victory? Victory in Jesus means you overcome all the circumstances in your life and all the bad things that other people did to you. Paris Hilton was only 15 years old when a guy she met at a mall gave her a wine cooler that was spiked with a roofie. And when she was half out of it, that guy raped her. And because of that, she lived like a wild child for years and years and years. We all remember the TV show. Till 2018, when she said this happened to her. Being sexually violated like that just kept eating at me and eating at me. And it made me think I was just a sex object. So I just acted out on that for years and years. But then I finally found out that Jesus Christ really died on the cross for us. And He not only died to take our sins away, but all the sins that other people committed against us too, and all the hurts we carry around from them. And when I gave those hurts to Christ, He started taking them away. Let me ask you this morning, what happened to you? Had an old man that beat you like a baby seal? Maybe you had Mommy Dearest who told you over and over again all the while that you were growing up that having you was the worst thing that ever happened to her. A first husband that beat you down and tore you up so that you didn't even want to live anymore. Maybe it was kids at school years ago that made your life a living hell every single day. Maybe it was that next door neighbor that sexually molested you and told you that he would kill you if you told your mom. And I know you're sitting here today, you say, Kevin, I'm trying to forget those things. But the problem is, you can't forget them, can you? But see, there is a way that you can overcome them and be set free from them. Because 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was on that cross, He took all the bad things that other people did to us and all the demon spirits that egged Him on and still torment you with them today, put them all on His shoulders and then died on the cross and rose from the dead to destroy the power that those things have over you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus destroyed all the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. Meaning Jesus not only took their guns away, He also faced them and humiliated them so they can't do anything to you anymore. Folks, the devil is trying to use those things from your past to take you out. So for crying out loud, stand up and fight like a Christian. Because you're not a loser, you're a winner. You're not a chump, you're a champ. You're not a victim, you're a victor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, God always, 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 always gives us victory in Jesus Christ. Man, do we ever need that victory in Jesus in our lives. We also need that victory in Jesus here and now. In our country, like nobody's business. Last Tuesday, April the 4th, Lower Manhattan, President Donald Trump was arrested and arraigned on 34 bogus felony charges of falsifying business documents. First time ever. One of Donald Trump's lawyers, Joseph McCabe, said this, Donald Trump will be arrested during Lent, a time of suffering and purification for Christians. Just as Christ was crucified and rose on the third day, so will Donald Trump be reelected. Now, folks, I believe Donald Trump was the greatest president in the history of this country since Abraham Lincoln. Did more for pro-life than any other president in the history of this country. Did more for Israel than any other president in the history of this country. Even fulfilled Bible prophecy with things like the Abraham Accords and declaring that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. I could go on and on. But there is not one person in this church that believes Donald Trump is the Savior. Donald Trump is my president. Jesus is my Savior. But folks, what they are doing to Donald Trump right now ought to scare the living daylights out of you. Because America has never indicted a president before, especially one who's a leading candidate for the White House in the next election. Talk about election interference. But the left has weaponized and politicized the whole legal system against him and gone after him for fake Russian collusion. And fake January the 6th insurrection and two fake impeachments. And now they're going after him for charges that the Clinton campaign just paid fines for just a few years ago. So everybody knows this is just a political witch hunt to keep him from running for office again. But folks, what's even scarier, forget about Donald Trump because this is bigger than Donald Trump. We don't jail political opponents in this country until now. This is tyranny. This is something that third world banana republic dictators do. The left likes to say that January the 6th was the greatest attack on this country since Pearl Harbor. What about April the 4th? And don't you dare lecture me about saving our democracy when you're spitting all over the Constitution and the rule of law that's supposed to support it and be the foundation for it. They're crashing the system, folks. And half the people in this country don't even care because they don't realize the left is coming after them next. We've crossed the line. We're in uncharted territory. And America right now is so divided and so entrenched, we are literally coming apart at the seams. And why is that? Not because too many people in America rejected Donald Trump, but because too many people in this country have rejected the God of the Bible. Only 20% of Americans still believe the Bible is the Word of God. Only 6% of Americans still have a biblical worldview. 97% of teenagers in this country have never read one verse of Scripture. Fewer Americans believe in God now than at any other time in the history of our country. Joe Biden said last week, transgenderism is the soul of America. God help us, people. The greatest nation in the face of the earth, in the history of this world, is dying right in front of our very eyes. Donald Trump tweeted this out last week. Our once great nation is going to hell. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, which means cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. That's exactly what we're seeing happening right now. And why is this happening right now during Holy Week? Because 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel had a decision to make. 2,000 years ago during the first Holy Week, to accept the Savior that God sent to them, Jesus Christ, or to reject Him. Sadly enough, they rejected Him. And then 37 years after that, 70 AD, the Romans came, took over their country, basically turned the people into slaves, destroyed the holy city of Jerusalem, and destroyed the temple, and God's people were not free for another 1,900 years. 2,000 years later, right now, during this Holy Week, the United States of America has a decision to make. To accept the Savior that God has sent to us, Jesus Christ, or to reject Him. And I got to tell you, folks, the shape that our country is in right now, the way that this nation is today, the point that we are right now in these last days, if we reject Jesus Christ again, if we reject this offer from the Lord again, there's no coming back from this. This is it. And don't tell me this is not happening during Holy Week. To make us realize how much we really need a Savior. The only Savior there is, who died on the cross and rose from the dead to prove that He's the only Savior there is. So if we don't get down on our knees as a nation right now and cry out to God with all of our hearts to the One who said it is finished, it really is finished for us as a nation. But here's the hope that we have. The same Jesus that we are praying to raise this country from the dead, raised Himself from the dead 2,000 years ago, on the first Easter Sunday, so He can do it. America will be great again when America is born again and America is godly again. And God, please, 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 please give us that victory here and now. The second thing we need to know about victory in Jesus is we need to live it here and now. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to know about victory in Jesus. Not only is it won at the cross, not only do we need to live it here and now, but third, we need to anticipate it in the future. Eternal life. And that's also what Jesus is showing us here in verse 30. Because eternal life is what Easter is really all about. Not bunnies, or death by chocolate, or Easter egg hunts that prove your kids really can find things when they really want to. Because 3 days after Jesus died and was buried, He popped out of that tomb and said, hey, let's see the Easter bunny top that. And we got to realize when Jesus rose from the dead, He wasn't just revived or resuscitated. Because He didn't just come back to life in the same old body. And Jesus wasn't just restored because that's something you do to your grandma's old dresser drawers. And Jesus wasn't reincarnated because that would have meant He would have had been born all over again into a brand new different life form, and He was not. Jesus doesn't teach reincarnation. The Bible doesn't teach reincarnation. Reincarnation is a New Age claptrap lie straight from the pits of hell. Because Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then immediately stand before God and be judged once and for all. Not to have nine lives like a cat. So when Jesus rose from the dead, He was resurrected, which meant He came back to life, the same person, only in a new spiritual resurrection body. And then 40 days after that, He ascended back into heaven. And when you and I die, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, He's going to take us to heaven in brand new spiritual resurrection bodies too. Because He lives, we shall live also. just as sure as you're sitting there. So let me ask you this morning, are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have that assurance that when you die, you're going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ? Because people today don't take death seriously at all. Prop me up next to the jukebox when I die. Fill my boots way up with sand, put a stiff drink in my hand, prop me up next to the jukebox when I die. No! George Swanson of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His dying wish was to be buried in his 1984 white Corvette. So when he died, his wife Caroline bought 12 burial plots at Brush Creek Cemetery outside of Pittsburgh. Backhoe dug the hole. George Swanson's ashes were placed in the front seat of that white Corvette. And as the whole thing was lowered into the ground, Engelbert Humperdinck singing, "Please release me, let me go," was running on the car's cassette tape player. And after the funeral was over, Caroline Swanson was asked how she felt. Was it hard to bury her husband? She said this, "Oh, it was very hard. That Corvette only had 27,000 miles on it." Do people have any idea what death really is? Do people have a clue what really happens to folks when they die? Last July the 15th, a truck driver named Sal Vasquez took this picture of a motorcycle accident. EMTs working on a guy in a motorcycle accident outside of Richmond, Kentucky. And he took a picture up to prove to a dispatcher why he was late with his delivery because the traffic had gotten backed up. But when he looked at that picture, folks, the guy on that motorcycle died at the scene. Doesn't that look like that guy's soul rising up above his body? And whatever that picture shows, that's exactly what the Bible says happens to us when we die. Your body starts to decay and your soul immediately goes and stands before God in judgment. And if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior before you died, you go to heaven. If you didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior before you died, you went to hell. Very simple. Jesus equals heaven. No Jesus equals hell. You say, "Well, Kevin, hell isn't fair." No, it's totally fair. You reject the payment that Jesus Christ made for your sin 2,000 years ago on the cross, the only payment there is, the only chance you have of ever going to heaven. Then you're going to have to pay for your own sin in a place called hell. And because we human beings can't possibly ever pay off our own sin, you will be suffering in hell for it forever and ever and ever. It's totally fair. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And you're going to be in one of them, depending on your decision about Jesus Christ that you make before you die. So you choose now where you're going to be then. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now sitting right here in this church. You say, "Kevin, I'll just wait till right before I die. Then I'll make my decision." Okay, but let me ask you, do you know exactly when it is that you're going to die? I've been in ministry for 42 years. And I've done more funerals than you will ever attend in your lifetime. And I can tell you an absolute fact, you could die at any time. Last March the 19th, two teenage guys from Prairie Central High School down in Fairbury, 17-year-old Dylan Bazell, 18-year-old Drew Fair, killed on spring break, Copper Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado, when a tandem sled they were riding flew off the end of a half pipe and crashed into a wall of solid ice, killed on impact. Do you think they woke up that morning knowing that they were going to die that day? Last February the 13th, Brian Frazier, Alexandria Verner, Ariel Anderson, three students, Michigan State University, were just sitting in class doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. They were sitting at class, Michigan State University, when all of a sudden a demon-possessed gunman named Anthony McCray walks in, shoots and kills all three of them at random. Do you think they even had a clue, any kind of inkling at all, when they walked to class that night, that they were going to be dead in a matter of minutes? The video you see on the screen, an SUV. Family of five from Madison, Wisconsin. A dad and a mom and three kids trying to pass a truck on an icy highway in northern Michigan the day after Christmas. Needless to say, there's no survivors. And you say, Kevin, that's pretty shocking. Yeah, but I guarantee you, hell is worse. And it never stops. You say, Kevin, do you honestly think that that's a good reason to get saved? That's why people should get saved? Because they're afraid of hell? Folks, I don't care why people get saved, just as long as they get saved. Have you made that decision for Jesus Christ? Because let me tell you something. If you're going to pray to receive Christ, you better hurry. Because the world is just getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. Or haven't you noticed how popular the devil is out there right now? It started during the Grammy Awards. Sam Smith dressed up like the devil, singing that song Unholy on a stage set that looked exactly like hell. Then it was Rihanna's halftime show at the Super Bowl where she descended on a platform like the devil being kicked out of heaven, coming down to earth and making the sign of the Antichrist. The fastest growing religion in America right now is the Church of Satan. Netflix today has all kinds of series about the devil and demons, The Exorcist Files, Warrior Nun, The Devil in Ohio, Lucifer, The Bastard Son, and The Devil Himself, The Good Place. I could go on and on and on. Videos about the devil, blowing up YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. After school Satan clubs springing up all over the place. Folks, there's even demonic children's books today. Children's books for Satanism. A children's book of demons. Demon Dentist and Demon and Devil Stories for Kids. Baphomet and Friends. The Satanic Coloring Book. I could go on and on. And at the last weekend of this month, April the 28th to 30th, SatanCon in Boston, Massachusetts, billed as the biggest satanic gathering in the history of the world. Sold out in less than 5 weeks. Now, there's always been evil around, but people listening, it has never, never been in your face and glorified and celebrated like it is right now. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now. You say, Kevin, I don't believe in the devil. That's okay. You will. And because you're going to be spending a lot of time with him, let me introduce you to him. Picture you see on the screen, that ugly thing is Baphomet, the symbol of Satanism, the devil himself. And look at all the evil things he's got going on there. Every one of them specifically designed to deceive you and to lead you astray and to keep you from believing in Jesus. Notice he's got the head of a goat from the Jewish Day of Atonement. The goat that had all the sins of the people transferred to its head. And then that goat would be led out to the wilderness. No wonder Jesus met the devil in the wilderness. The pentagram on his forehead mocking the five wounds of Christ. And notice he's got the head of a goat and the body of a human, so he's trans-species. But not only that, notice he's got the body of a man, but breasts like a woman. One male arm and one female arm. So the devil was all about transgenderism long before drag queen story hour ever came along. Gee, Kevin, you mean that transgenderism comes from the devil and people really aren't born that way? Two crescent moons, one standing for the false religion of Islam, the other one standing for the false one world religion of Chrislam. And the famous satanic two finger salute on each hand. One is the number of God, two is the number of man. The two fingers on the hand pointing down, pointing to man. Two fingers on the other hand pointing up to God. Man is equal to God. As above, so below. The old lie of the devil way back from the Garden of Eden, that with the devil, man is just as smart as God is. Notice the two words written on the arms, solve and coagula, meaning that the devil takes everything that God creates, destroys it, takes it apart, and then puts it back together the way he wants it, like marriage and family and gender. I could go on and on. J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books, has those same two words tattooed on the insides of her arm, meaning she's dedicated to exactly the same thing. But see, reading Harry Potter books, that was just for fun, so that's okay. And the freakiest thing of all, in the devil's lap, the caduceus, the two snakes wrapped around the pole. And most people think that's from Moses' bronze snake on the pole that healed the Israelites in the wilderness. So the caduceus is just a symbol of medicine and healing. But no, that symbol really comes from Greek mythology and was the magic wand used by the god Hermes. And the snake really represents the serpent that deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the crazy thing is, even though it's really a symbol of spiritual deception, the snake on the pole is the logo used by both the World Health Organization and the American Medical Association. Revelation chapter 18, verse 27, Babylon, the one world evil system of the Antichrist, is condemned for using magic spells. And the Greek word for magic spells is pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy from. So the devil using pharmacy or medicine to deceive people and lead them astray and get them plugged into the one world system of the Antichrist. Gee, where have we ever heard of something like that before? So the devil is not just a myth who doesn't have anything that's good to do with what's going on in the world today. The devil is a real person who is responsible for everything that's going on in the world today. And notice how he's all bringing these things together for the last times, the end times. The World Health Organization, the American Medical Association, the vaccine, the mark of the beast, sexual perversion, transgenderism, the Antichrist, one world government, Satanism, false religion, one world religion. I could go on and on. Everything that's in rebellion against God in the world today. And why? Because notice, what is the devil sitting on? He's sitting on the globe of the world. Because he is the ruler of this present world, the ruler of this present darkness. John chapter 14, verse 30. And I know there's somebody sitting here today, you say, well, Kevin, I'm a Christian, but I don't worship the devil. I'm not a Christian. I don't worship. Yes, you do. Because there's only two kinds of people in this world. You're either saved or you're lost, which means there's only two religions in this world. Allegiance to the one true God and the only true Savior, and allegiance to the devil. And devil worship has all different kinds of forms. There's all different kinds of names for it. There's all different kinds of holy books. But it comes down to exactly the same thing. You are following the father of lies. You say, Kevin, I'm not a Christian, but I do not worship the devil. The devil doesn't care if you worship him or not, as long as you fall for his biggest lie of all, that you don't need Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, you're either for me or you're against me. So if you're not following and worshiping Him, then you are following and worshiping Him. And if you don't pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to get to meet Him someday. After you miss the rapture of the church, when Jesus takes all the Christians into heaven. And the great tribulation starts when God pours out holy hell judgments on this world and everybody in it for rejecting Jesus Christ. A time of suffering the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again, Jesus said. And the devil himself is going to make a personal appearance during the great tribulation in the person of the Antichrist. And after you get to meet him for 7 years during the great tribulation, then you're going to get to spend eternity with him, suffering in hell right next to him. Now, the devil doesn't tell you this because he hates you and he wants you to be lost. Jesus tells you this because he loves you and he wants you to be saved. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now. You say, Kevin, it's Easter Sunday. You're supposed to be talking about Jesus dying on the cross so that we can be saved. Yeah, that is what Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to save you from. Now, the vast majority of preachers in America today will never tell you this because they want your money, they want your butt in their seat, and they want you to keep coming back to church. And I got to tell you this morning, I couldn't care less about your money. I couldn't care less if you ever come back to this church again. I just don't want you to go to hell. Because you go to hell, you'll never get out. Don't go to hell. If you're sitting here on this Easter Sunday and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've got a choice to make. And listen to me, that choice couldn't be more clear. It's either the devil or Jesus. The devil hates you, Jesus loves you. The devil condemns you, Jesus forgives you. The devil wants to destroy you, Jesus wants to save you. The devil wants to take you to hell, Jesus wants to take you to heaven. The devil is only going to be ruling over this world for a measly 7 years. Jesus is going to reign over all time, space, and dimension forever and ever and ever. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. What is your choice today? You're sitting here. You are not a Christian. You are not a believer. You've got to make that decision. You make that decision today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. You make that decision because you try to make it after you're gone, after you die. It's too late. And you have no idea when that's coming. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 6. It cometh for thee. It cometh for thee. The end is watching for thee. It cometh for thee. 2,000 years ago on that first Good Friday, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." One little word in the Greek. The most important word for the most important person on the most important day of the most important event in the history of the whole wide world. Because that one word changed absolutely everything. It changed the entire course of history and the entire course of eternity. You're sitting here today. One little word from you can change everything about you too. Can change your entire course of history, your entire course of eternity. When you say that one little word, yes, to Jesus Christ and the offer of salvation that He is making to you right now. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "It is finished." Everything that was necessary for your salvation was already done when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. But that salvation is not applied to everybody like COVID money. You got to go to Jesus. And you got to repent of your sin. You got to tell Him that you're sorry. And you got to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that can take your sins away. And personally ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior. And today you can do that. Amen. Jesus said, "It is finished." It's not finished for you until you receive that by faith. There's people sitting in this church right now. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You never prayed that prayer and you know it. Right now you're hearing a voice. That's the Holy Spirit saying you need to respond today. The second this service is over, you need to get up to the front of this church and you need to pray with somebody to pray to receive Christ. Because you're hearing other voices right now that are telling you, just forget this. Just blow this off. There's nothing to this. There's no life after death. There's no heaven and hell. Don't listen to what that fat preacher's telling you. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the devil telling you that. And some of you sitting here today who aren't believers, you've got family members telling you the same thing. That Christianity is just ridiculous. The church is just out for your money. There's nothing to this. There's nothing happens when you die. Live it up now. Those people are telling you that because they don't have a clue about spiritual truth. They tell you those things because they don't care what's going to happen to you after you die. They don't care that you're going to be separated from God for eternity. I do. Second this service is over with, if we sing this last song, Victory in Jesus, I want you to come up here. There's going to be people here to pray with you. And I'm not going to ask you to pray any prayer that I didn't pray myself. The people who are up here today prayed the exact same prayer I'm asking you to pray today, however many years ago, and they will tell you it absolutely changed their life forever. Joy unspeakable and full of glory and a peace like you have never known before. That's what's waiting for you. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to come forward. You need to pray to receive Christ as your Savior. You don't, you'll spend the rest of eternity remembering that on Easter Sunday, 2023, this dumpy little pastor in this little country church gave you an opportunity to get saved. And you wouldn't do it. Don't let your last memory be me. Today, get up out of your seat after the service is over. You come and you pray to receive Christ. If you've got questions about your salvation today, you come. This is Easter Sunday. You can rise from the dead to brand new life. You can do that today by trusting in Jesus Christ.
An old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard that
Today and you need Jesus, you need to pray for salvation, come forward. I know it's Easter Sunday. I know you got places to go. This is absolutely the most important thing you need to do today. And your friends and family will wait for it. If you don't want to come up by yourself, grab a friend. Both of you come. If you've got need for anything, if you want prayer for anything, you please come afterwards. Otherwise, go in peace.